Predictions are dangerous.
We absolutely need more inventory.
The Fed doesn't actually have a lot of tools to regulate inflation.
That cash is dried up.
Wow, is my first thought, Bruce.
If both parties don't win, it doesn't happen.
The Real Look. Trending news.
G'day. Today's Wednesday, April 24th. I'm Bruce Hardy.
And I'm Chase Williams.
And this is the news you need to know. Well, Chase, existing home sales receded by 4.3% in March to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of only 4.19 million. And that's down from 4.38 million in February. And that's according to a report released on Thursday by the National Association of Realtors. Now, year-over-year sales fell by 3.7%. So what do you think of that?
Well, it's not great news, Bruce, depending on who you are, I suppose, but for most it's not. You know, we would typically anticipate the number of sales going up in March versus February, right? Based on kind of that spring seasonality, if you will. And that's actually the opposite of what happened here. It's actually down from February, which is quite abnormal, generally speaking. And it's also down from last March, which was already a tough March in terms of the total number of home sales nationally, right? We were well into kind of the shifting marketplace, if you will, and a steep drop in total number of units. So to be even lower than that is not great news. What's interesting about this article, Bruce, is that right after talking about this drop in existing home sales, 4.19 million seasonally adjusted, as you mentioned, it goes in to talk about the continued increase in price.
Yes.
Right? So its median price for all types of existing homes rose to $393,500, an increase of 4.8% from the median price of $375,300 one year ago. Here we have continued dropping in total number of transactions, but that average price, that median price in this case, continuing to rise. What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, I think it's a confusing market, right? You would expect that as transaction count drops, so would the price. That's not what we're seeing. And again, it's a shortage of inventory and still a large number of buyers out there. In fact, the inventory, though, of existing homes has been steadily increasing despite elevated mortgage rates, right? At the end of March, total housing inventory sat at 1.11 million units. And that's up 4.7% from February, a whopping 14.4% from one year ago. Now, meanwhile, unsold inventory sat at a 3.2-month supply at the current sales pace. And that is up from 2.9 months in February and 2.7 months in March. So we're seeing that inventory, the increase in inventory is met with that demand, and yet numbers are still down.
Yeah, they really are, Bruce. And inventory gradually climbing, I think, is good news. It's just a very slow, very gradual climb thus far, right? 3.2 months of supply is still well below, months and months below what we would consider a balanced market even, and even farther below what we would consider a buyer's market, where maybe homes would, or prices rather, would start to come down a little bit. So gradual is great. We'll take it, but it's a long way to go from the inventory that some are hoping for, right?
Yeah. In fact, this surprised me, Chase, is that new construction of both single family and multifamily homes receded in March as well. And oh, by the way, home builder confidence has also stagnated in April due to elevated mortgage rates coupled with a stronger than expected inflation reading. So yeah, we're not out of the woods. Not yet anyway. So it'll be interesting to see where these numbers take us through the summer.
Yeah, we don't have an article this week, Bruce, on mortgage rates specifically, but this one does touch on it slightly. In other words, there was a lot of expectation that rates were going to come down this year, and that's not looking to be the case, at least up until now. And there's more and more talk about, again, language that the Fed and Jerome Powell have actually used over and over, which is higher for longer. And we're certainly seeing that play out. And that's certainly a big part of this continued malaise, if you will, of the number of transactions happening across the country.
Well, Chase, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development this week announced a new rule aimed at bolstering the department's Section 184 Indian Housing Loan Guarantee Program, with the goal to increase lender participation and ensure access to potential Native American beneficiaries. Now, there are a total of 30 program changes listed in the rule's Federal Registry entry, but it is summarized by explaining how the new rule adds participation and eligibility requirements for lender applicants, both direct and non-direct guarantee lenders, and holders and services and other financial institutions. Now, the new rule also clarifies governing rules for tribal participation in the Section 184 program and, quote, establishes underwriting requirements, specifies rules on the closing and endorsement process, establishes stronger and clearer servicing requirements, establishes program rules governing claims submitted by services and paid by HUD, and adds standards governing monitoring, reporting, sanctions, and appeals. So I think this is good news. So what are your thoughts around this?
You know, Bruce, I hope it's good news. And I'll tell you what I mean, right? Because this is actually a topic that's a little near and dear to my heart. I've got some deep relationships in the Native American community. And so, you know, this program itself is awesome, in my opinion. And certainly any program that helps more people, any people become homeowners, I think we're both fans of, right? And probably every listener on this program. Here's my concern, though, Bruce. As I read through this, I really struggled with it because I want to cheer for it. And yet what I hear is more rules. And then they use words like sanctions, appeals, reporting, monitoring. It feels like more red tape. Now, I'll say this. They're trying to clarify some things, and that can be really helpful, right? Because clarity is kind. And if these lenders and these servicers and these participants have clarity, then that can make it easier for them to participate. But when they cite increased demand for this program as one reason for pursuing the rule, I get a little nervous that government kind of does what government does, and that is actually make it harder for people to participate, right? Because they're not talking about simplifying the rules. It doesn't say that in there. It says clarifying, so I'll take that. It doesn't talk about removing any of the rules or what I hear is red tape to make it more attractive for people to participate. So all that said, Bruce, getting this program in the hands of more beneficiaries, right, Native Americans in this case, I hope that this does exactly what they say it's intended to do. And does that. I have a little concern around maybe it's just the way the article's written and understanding what these rules are, but usually more rules is not the way to get more participants.
Well, I thought it was interesting. You know, the department said that most of HUD's proposed rule codified current program practices, how it's being done, and if it actually is more attractive to more lenders, both direct guarantee and non-direct guarantee to participate in this program, I think it's important. I was surprised to see that, you know, in our region, right, the Northwest, I mean, one, we have a lot of tribes in this area. In fact, yep. In Oregon, Washington, Idaho, we actually have over 44 tribes, right, spread across the three-state area. And then in addition to that, there is a whole lot up in Alaska that would be covered by this. And again, like you said, we believe that everybody should have the opportunity to buy housing. And I think that this program goes a long way to helping build generational wealth for Native Americans. And I think they should be participating in it. Well, Chase, boy, this is interesting. Again, talk about conflicting news. Luxury home prices in the U.S. surged by 8.7% year over year in the first quarter of 2024. With the median price hitting a record $1.225 million. Now, that's according to data from Redfin. Now, in comparison, prices for non-luxury homes rose by only 4.6%, which, by the way, was still to a record high. Now, during the 3 months ending February 29th, nearly half, or 46.8% of luxury homes sold, were purchased in cash. And that's up from 44.1% during the same period a year ago. So what thinks you of this?
Well, Bruce, I think that oftentimes in the industry, we have for a long time seen the luxury niche in the market behave differently than the average or median part of the market. So that's not necessarily new. You know, when we talk about things like amount of inventory, days on market, and some of the other factors, it's oftentimes been quite different in the luxury end of the market, right? And that's because, frankly, kind of like this article alludes to, those buyers particularly, and even sellers, they're not as price conscious, or they're not as affected by interest rates. I mean, here you have almost half of these purchases being cash anyways. So someone either doesn't care what interest rates are, so the demand is still there, right, for this amount of inventory that's available, or they do care what interest rates are, but they're still able to go ahead with the purchase anyway because of their means, right? Whether that's their income or their wealth or whatever. You know, it is interesting to see the difference though, right? Like, it's a pretty substantial difference in this particular article in terms of the prices going up. And, you know, again, I think it speaks, Bruce, to the underlying economy, right? And the strength of the underlying economy. And certainly some of those individuals in this particular case purchasing luxury homes that are, you know, quite unaffected by inflation thus far. And what that does to the remainder of the population, right? This inflation piece that we've talked about before, it doesn't affect everyone the same. And that's actually what's so scary about it from a democratic society perspective, right? You want to speak to that?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're seeing the wealthy get wealthier, right? Their assets are becoming worth more because of inflation. And again, they're not as impacted by the cost of groceries going up as much as those who aren't wealthy. And I think the other thing that's important here, and As I was looking at this data, Chase, the thing that where my head went was back to Gary's vision speech that showed the study that they do annually of high net worth individuals in the United States and how a large percentage of them are moving a big chunk of their net worth out of equities and into cash and real estate. So I think this is what we're seeing here. Now, what I read into that is that a lot of these high net worth individuals are looking and saying, okay, the economy is doing well, and yet it's still fairly volatile. And let's put our money into hard assets or into cash where we can take advantage if there is a shift or a recession, as we may end up having coming in the future.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Bruce. I think that it illustrates their confidence level in the values of real estate, both short and long term. And although it's probably short-sighted advice, it's not always bad advice from an investment and confidence standpoint to follow the money, right? So you're seeing lots of money pour into luxury real estate, those prices going up. And like you said, cash and other hard assets, that doesn't make them automatically right. Sometimes it's a fairly safe bet. So it's worth paying attention to either way. And certainly as real estate professionals and reporting on real estate news, it's always important for us to understand the different nuances and niches and parts of the overall real estate market that our listeners pay close attention to as well.
Absolutely. You know, and again, these numbers we're reporting are national numbers, and real estate's a local business, right? It's a local service business done by local realtors with their sphere of influence and their marketing image. And, you know, I think it's just fascinating. Our first story, we reported that home sales were down, and yet the luxury segment rose 2.1%, even though regular homes were down 4.3%. So interesting times. There's always home selling, Chase, regardless of what's going on in the market. And I think as real estate professionals, our job is to put ourselves in opportunity's way. Go out there and put yourself in opportunity's way. Well, that's the news you need to know. Don't miss this Friday's Northern Lights episode, where we'll interview Jason Abrams, Head of Industry and Learning at Keller Williams Realty International. Thanks again for tuning in with us on The Real Look.
This podcast is produced by Marissa Frost. Visit kwnwr.com to access the show notes from today's episode. Head over to Apple, Google, or Spotify, or really any major streaming platform to subscribe, and don't forget to leave us a review. Thanks again for listening to The Real Look.